see that AI in the Discord. Which AI generated, which one?
That was funny. That was hilarious. Unmissable, I would say.
Wait.
I thought you were talking about the AI that broke that kid's finger.
Wait, the robot. I'm way more interested in what you're saying.
There's a Russian robot that plays chess with kids, and it broke a 7-year-old's finger.
Like, out of spite?
I don't know the specifics. I didn't read it all.
I said checkmate. I think the kid was, like, trying to do a take-backsies, and the bro was like, nope, no,
I'll take your finger if you take that.
But, sir, no one ever is afraid of upsetting a droid.
Yeah. Right?
Or maybe what it did is it thought it was the, like, the bishop or something.
And, yeah.
Like, tried to move
it. I don't know. Anyway. I guess it's not a full AI. It's just a robot.
Strange world.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 41 of the Role Slayers podcast.
All right. Announcements. First, we use two things in most of our games, and it helps to enrich your listening pleasure. And those things are Sirenscape.com. It is a craftable sound experience that you can use for your games as well. Also, BeyondSkyrim.org, all this beautiful fanfare and doom and gloom music that we use in our games. And it makes it way more riveting, especially when we have long pauses and we're like thinking about what to say, but no one really knows, like, should I talk? It's amazing for those times. Anyway.
We also use a couple of other things. Mouthfully.com, which is where most of our sound effects come from.
Hold on. And if you don't know what Mouthfully is, it's the sound effects you make with your mouth.
And they were all made by Jack Foley.
And here's one for the records.
We also use World Anvil to keep track of the world building. Well, Tyler does for our campaign, at least. He has a lot that he hasn't revealed to us yet. It's organic that way. We're exploring the world and finding things out, and he's got all the cards. But he's got so much planned out and mapped out. I assume I haven't actually looked at his World Anvil, but
I've seen it.
You have?
I know everything that's going to happen.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no spoilers.
Fun fact, Rachel's actually the DM.
Twist.
I'm just a puppet.
I'm sliding of notes.
That's got more twist than Sprite.
But you can check out our... what does that mean?
I don't know. I was thinking like twisting the citrus. I don't know. Never mind.
But check out our affiliate link for World Anvil at worldanvil.pxf.io/roleslayers. And as always, get your parents' permission before surfing the web.
That was very 90s of you, John.
Hey.
If you didn't know, 41 episodes into the Role Slayers, now you do.
But it's also your parents' favorite podcast.
It's true. Last but not least, thank you to Eldritch Foundry. With their help, you can have 15% off of any mini that you order.
Just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to...
Oh, no. With the code Role Slayers in checkout. If you don't follow us on Instagram by now or all of our other myriad of places, please do. Give us a star rating on Spotify or Apple. That helps. And join our Discord for even more of this.
It helps even more. We really appreciate you joining the Discord.
Every little bit helps. Yeah.
Every meme you send makes some Role Slayer smile.
True. Very true.
It's zany.
And with that, why don't we just, you know, play our game?
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's be serious.
So, last we left off, The party said goodbye to a friend, and with most of their world in turmoil, attended a dinner party where one of the quinumvirate, Stephanos Tissot, addressed community leaders, and you found yourselves among people established within the community, friends of Drasbur at the least. He spoke on how, yes, it is true that the city of Oramond, as well as its surrounding territories, have decreed independence from the Blackthorn Ascendancy, the Duke naming himself King of Alanko, and that while war was not necessarily coming for the apostasy, they wanted to be ready in case it spilled over into their territory. So, leaving the dinner party, most of you feeling a bit self-conscious, not super involved with this political system, you decided to stay true to your plan and head to Urengal. But first, you investigated a rope dangling from the ramparts of Riverwatch Citadel to find assassins attempting to murder Stephanos Tissot. After assisting him in beating back two of them and following one that fled and jumped into the river, you searched the bodies and found hidden in the boot heel a bit of pay, as well as a note saying that they needed to see one Mokadis Tazavur for the rest of their payment. You spent your evening recovering, and that morning you woke, got your cart and mules, and exited the eastern side of the city of Drasbur. Where we left off.
It's morning now, right?
Yep. It is the morning after the fight.
It's a good time to head out while it's still crisp.
You following the road? Are you trying to take that hill pass that you had discussed at some point around to the south?
What's his name? Give us money?
Yeah, y'all got 100 gold.
But he gave it to us there. He didn't, because he asked where we were staying.
Yeah, they delivered it.
Okay. Did we already add that?
I don't think so.
There's a map if y'all need the map.
Oh, cool.
But
I don't remember our conversation about which way we were going to go.
We're still planning on going to Urengal, but I don't.
But the route.
I don't remember what we decided in terms of route.
Well, there's one route that takes us through the woods that's above Urengal, right? Ooh. The top road. And then there's following the river that takes us close to Oramond.
So yeah, there's those two routes, one that leads kind of the long way around and one that's the direct road through the north. But there's also, if you see those hills kind of to the south of the road next to Drasbur, you could try and make your way through those hills if you'd like. That way you can stay off the road. I don't know if that's something that you're wanting to do. I don't know what your approach that you're wanting to do with this is.
Like staying off the road is probably a good idea if we're trying to be.
I would agree.
Okay.
Because. Because there's really no route safer than through the mysterious haunted forest, right?
Well, and I show Cyrus the map. If we look at the map, going through the mountain pass here, we wouldn't be going through the forest near Aderberg. We'd be going through the mountains, the green fastness. And I hate to say it, but it may be faster to go through the place called the green fastness.
I trust your judgment.
I never spent much time in Urengal.
As long as we don't have to spend any more time on any boats, I'm all right with that. I'm good for a change of pace in that way.
So then through the hills?
Sticking close to the river will also make sure we have a reasonable
access to non-stagnant, fresh, potable water.
That's true. And it'll also help keep us from getting lost. That's another possibility.
As soon as we get through the green fastness, then we should be close to Urengal anyway.
If you and Bells would like to make a history check, you can.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sixteen.
Okay.
Just 7 for me.
Okay. You've never heard of it. Alin, you've heard of it vaguely. You know that it's some, like, ruin of, like, this towering old keep.
The Green Fastness?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a really good way through it, then.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's within the forest, but yeah, it's just this old castle that is, you know, in ruin. No one, you don't really know who it belonged to or why it's there, if that makes sense.
Okay.
On another note, it does look like the river, depending on which way it flows, does go right through to Urengal. I know that we weren't taking a boat. Sure, we could travel along it if we didn't want to go by water.
Or through the hills. It's probably wise to avoid the hills. There might be trolls or other large beasts, monsters that we don't want to run into. So I like your idea of traveling along the river. Okay. Maybe let's travel the river all and follow it to Urengal.
So are we going to stop by that old haunted castle, or?
I think we'll avoid the green fastness.
So is just because this isn't necessarily my errand, are we looking to speed this travel along? At what pace should we be pursuing our destination?
Here's why I think we should move with utmost haste. I think all of us are eager to see how things are at home. And I think, you know, this route, if we follow along the river, it will take us close to our interests. And it will also, I think traveling right now is probably precarious with all the conflict.
And where are you from? You're from Urengal, all of you, right?
No, I spent time there with the army.
I'm from Stoweheller originally.
That's right,
I went to school in Urengal and then, you know, been there ever since. I'm what you would call a super senior. I repeated my senior year, you know, more than once.
Right. Maybe don't tell anyone that. You're from,
I know that you, Elaine, you're from Urengal, correct? Or
no,
or
I actually lived a little northeast of Ormond.
Okay, excellent. So, by the river or the path next to the river?
Yeah, very close to the, is this the Elk River?
Yeah, actually, yeah, you did live alongside the Elk River, yes.
Yeah. So that's what I've seen. I live very close to the Elk River.
Excellent.
Well, shall we go?
Yes, let's be off.
Seems like we've got our trajectory, we've got a plan, we've got supplies. Wait, did we pack rations? Usually that's Vern's responsibility.
You probably have a fair amount left over from Vern, to be fair.
Do have lots of beans.
You can also forage along the way if you'd like.
Maybe we'll run into another axe beak. Maybe. Have some more beacon beans.
Oh, man.
So you're heading south along the river.
Yes, that's the head.
Okay. You turn your wagon south and start to head along the river. Peaceful, sunny day ahead of you. As you get to the southern side of the city, you do see two stone towers, one on either side of the river. And you can just barely make out the other side of the river at this point. And they are, you hear the sound of a winch as it seems like a steel net is being pulled up from the river to dissuade boat traffic from coming up.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't travel by boat.
Oh, yes. There's a haunted river gate there. We're avoiding all the ghosts this way.
But you have a full day of travel. Around almost the end of the day, early evening, you come across a river branching from the Redress and up into the hills. It flows. Or it flows down from the hills, basically, into
like,
the Redress.
I don't like this.
My bad. But it is, you know, it is something that you are going to have to ford. I don't know if you want to spend a lot of time looking, but it's not something that you're going to just be able to swim the wagon across. It's a little deeper than that. Sorry to get Oregon Trail on you.
Well, admittedly, this is not my expertise.
Nor mine. This is probably the sort of thing that Vern would be really good at figuring out. I'll just do a nature check to see if my character can come up with an idea.
Sure. Just roll nature.
I can see her thinking, and I put a hand on her and say, maybe this will help you guide her.
Does that give me a plus four?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
or plus a d4.
Or plus
right?
d4, yeah.
So maybe.
So it gives me a nine.
Nine?
Oh.
Well, you're sat within some lowlands, and to the east, there are those foothills that rise into a small mountain range, and you assume that's where the river's flowing down from. You're not sure. You feel like you could maybe go up river a little bit and maybe find a shallower portion if you want. Or perhaps, you know, you're on your map, it seems that the river ends a good, you know, day's ride down from here, and you could possibly go around, maybe.
Well, I point. I thank Vinny for the help. Clap on the shoulder. Well, your spell gave me a little bit of clarity. The river does taper off, you know, as it's coming. It seems to get thinner. Let's try moving up the river a little bit and see if it's shallower.
Okay. You make your way east down the banks of this tributary, or up the banks of this tributary. You're slowly rising in elevation as you're kind of wandering up into these foothills. If you want to make a perception check, two of you, to see if you can spot maybe a possible place to ford it.
Sure. 14 for me.
Okay.
Sixteen for me.
Okay. After about an hour of travel, you find a place where the water is traveling very quickly because there's a large amount, but it's a very shallow kind of shoaly bit of rock that you could probably go across. You would just have to keep a firm hand on the mules so that they don't get washed away by the quick water. But it would be about up to your waist high as you guys crossed.
Alright, Venuthra, we will be relying on your laundering skills on the other side here.
It's been a while.
It has, and look, we're right where we began, or at least where I began this journey, at least.
Make sure if you have any small
in the water
items in your pockets or knives that you secure them before we go through.
Oh, Franklin! Put him back on my shoulder. Don't jump off like that.
I'd grab one of the mules and hold on.
Okay. Can I have athletics checks from you guys as you cross? Ooh, sorry.
Come on.
There's one thing Cyrus is good at. It's athletics.
18 for me.
That's not true.
Okay.
20 for me.
Okay. 18 for me.
24.
Wow.
No, like just 14.
Oh, I was like, how is that possible?
That is not possible.
Which mule were you holding onto, Bells?
Harrison.
Okay. Lucky for you, Harrison was the one with the nat one.
Whoa.
The other two were strong as oxes, but you, Harrison starts to like buckle and seems like he kind of twists a foot up in some rocks and starts to fall, and you kind of shoulder him and pick him up right, and you make your way across the river. It's now evening.
All right, and voila!
Oh, you're dry. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Shall we find somewhere to camp for the night?
Yeah. Sounds good. Just like old times.
Could I have two d20 rolls, one from each of you guys?
I'll roll one.
Okay.
Anyone?
15. Yeah.
15?
18.
And 18. Oh, okay. So, is there anything you'd like to do with your evening?
This is the first night out in the wilderness in a while, so Elin's gonna lay out her javelins, like, ready to go. Make sure the swords are all polished and ready to cut. And she's gonna sleep in her armor. Ready. On guard.
I would just kind of excuse myself and go find some time to, like, pray or attempt to pray by myself somewhere close enough that they can hear me, but not, like, in the middle of things.
And I think seeing that they had kind of both done their own thing, Vinny would probably just go up to Cyrus and maybe start a conversation, talk to him about magic, and also ask just, let's see. Yeah, I think I'll just roleplay it a little bit. So we're back in the ascendancy.
So it would seem.
How are you feeling? It seems as though you haven't had much good to say about Stow Hello. Or in Gaul or anything else, but I do know this is your home.
There are plenty of nice things to do in Urengal, and there's some great people there. It's just it's a place that just comes with some baggage.
That's fair enough.
Yeah,
it's just like
that would be the case anywhere you spend more than a decade.
Certainly. Do you find yourself affected in any way? Why? Or in what ways do you find yourself affected by the news of civil war?
Well, you know, if there's a good time for me to get out of the Quintessence, it's probably now.
Do you think that they would be requiring you to fight in some way?
Well, I don't know about fighting necessarily. That hasn't really been my milieu these past few decades, but the paperwork.
Oh.
It would be unimaginable. I mean, the previous Civil War was only, what, 30 years ago? Ugh, we still have some boxes that, you know, frankly, we haven't been filed. We haven't filed yet, and if we ever do get audited, we just hope they don't go in certain rooms.
Oh, I see. So what are you most excited about going back to Urengal?
You know, I've got some friends I wouldn't mind popping in on. I wouldn't mind, you know, to be perfectly honest, showing up in these robes.
Yeah, a little bit of look at this. What I can do type of.
Yeah, kind of the breakup deal where it's like, oh, you look good. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we definitely need to stage something. We need to make sure that that happens. I feel like that that's very important that we tie up that loose end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. I know. I've used enough scrying scrolls to know how they talk about me when they think I'm not eavesdropping. And the fact that I've been gone for the better part of, what is it, 2 months now? In-game, how long have we been gone?
Oh, you've been gone about a month and a half.
About a month and a half. The better part of 2 months. I can only imagine what they're saying, and none of it's good.
Well, we'll make sure to give them a show.
Oh, we will.
You each find a bit of rest, a bit of odd comfort being on the road again, but also, you know, there's that pit of dread in each of your stomachs as you're riding off to confront something. You're not sure what in the grand scheme of this, you know, this civil war that affects all touch points of life, but you go knowingly into that. And sleep finds each of you. The morning comes, sunny and beautiful. Crisp, cooler air from being in the mountains, or at least the foothills of the mountains, reach you, and the day is yours.
Well, let's get an early start.
You start to make your way, following the river. You have to double back a bit to join the main Redress channel again, but you do find it. Start to travel south again. What's everyone's passive perceptions?
11.
11.
10. I think
it's 15.
I think yours is 15. Okay. Almost certain.
Yeah.
You notice something interesting, not necessarily strange, Bells, but as you guys, for the first 2-3 hours, start to travel downriver, you see it's like a circling hawk that's just kind of following you lazily, circling. It's nothing alarming about it, but it's strange that it's following you.
How long has it been following?
Probably about 2 hours.
Okay, so considerably longer than would be natural.
Sure.
Okay.
It's strange.
Yes.
But it's not alarming. Yeah, it's just something strange. But other than that,
I would tell the group, have you all noticed that hawk that keeps circling us?
Not at all.
Might be familiar.
I'm sure it's been holding us for nearly 2 hours now, if not more.
Well, that's unnatural. And in this world of myth and magic, I would say if you have a bow, let's shoot it down. Or at least send it the message to go away.
Does your character say, in this world of myth and magic, please say yes?
Yes.
In the fantasy world of Eltharis, I mean, you never know.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry that I've watched the interview with Elijah Wood and what's his name? Who plays Pippin?
Billy? Wait, that's not
no,
Billy.
Perry. Mary.
Yeah, Dom.
Dom Monaghan.
Yeah.
Sorry,
shit's on
wait, which are you talking about? The
in a world full of myth and magic,
yeah,
you lose time within yourself.
Do you agree with the statement? Yes.
Is a bad question. No. It's not a bad question.
Do you wear wigs?
Have you worn wigs?
You guys have seen this, right?
Yeah, the one where he's entered on.
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
Elijah Wood, yeah.
It is the absolute best.
It's pretty good.
Of the bonus features.
It's pretty good.
When you get some downtime.
Yeah.
You need to link it to the Discord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Soon. Anyway, so that phrase is forever in my head. It's in a world of myth and magic. Anyway, so let's just say she says it. Why not? It's fun. Shoot it down, Bells.
Okay.
What's the range on your bow?
Why do these birds keep following us?
This is a good time.
And we don't have a good track record with birds, do we?
No, not at all. Maybe we can teach this one some cusses, too.
600.
Some wild.
Disadvantage. 150.
Is that the long range?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Make an attack roll. At disadvantage.
At disadvantage?
Yeah.
Let's see. 17.
Okay. Hold on. I'm trying to see how many feet are in this thing. Oh, never mind. It goes up, sinks right back down to earth, not even getting close to the bird.
Maybe if I cast jump on you, you could jump up higher and then shoot from the apex of the jump to get a little bit more range on your bow.
Would that be the apex or the apogee of the jump?
I don't know. I fell asleep during trigonometry that day. Magical trigonometry.
Would it seem like that would get us close then? Like, is,
make
would
an
that
intelligence
be
check.
Worth it?
Cyrus. Cyrus and
okay.
Bells.
That's
insane. 19.
No.
Depends upon how high you're trying to get it, but most birds fly pretty high.
I do not think that this would work. Okay. Cyrus is willing to give it a shot.
He's willing to burn the spell slots, not me.
Well, okay.
13.
Yeah, probably not.
We suggested and carried out this plan with the assumption that bird was flying close enough to be shot.
Right.
And if it didn't even get close after firing up and then going down, that tells us it's way higher than reasonably led with the information we had.
What's the range
did
of
it,
grease?
Did it, like, action change at all after I fired that shot?
No.
We just weren't told it's flying way too high for a reasonable person to shoot at.
Yeah. We weren't told.
Cool. It seems like it's pretty high up, yeah.
So, let's just move on if there's no way we can reach it or access it.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do.
Yeah, so move on. Just keep our eyes out.
Okay.
Vinny went and retrieved the layer.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. Did he? Was it too far? I don't know.
No, you can spend 20 minutes looking for arrows in the foothills.
Sure.
I don't care.
Who has locate object?
Burn the spell slot.
It's not an arrow. Michael, what could it cost?
As you guys continue the day, eventually the river starts to branch again, and you leave the Redress to follow one flowing from the east. As it curves around, you start to notice that the bird has circled lower and lower.
How low now?
How low? Would a reasonable person shoot it?
As it circles lower, it starts to grow in size.
Okay.
What was now a hawk is something larger than a hawk.
New plan. Sorry, character voice. Okay, new plan. I've been thinking about this. I cast jump on you and jump on myself, as well as a tensor's floating disc. And so as I jump, the tensor's floating disc will also leap up into the air with me. And then when it gets up to its highest point, Bells, you jump up from there and then shoot at it.
Yes, let's do it.
Like double jumping on a trampoline.
What is it? I would just say, what is it? Because it doesn't look like a hawk anymore.
Make a perception check for me. Vinny? And Bells, if you want, now that it's a little lower.
I'll just... Can you look with your hawk eyes? and I'll give her an image. I'll help her look. However that... I'll focus my eldritch energy into her eyeballs. Somehow.
A brief flash of green.
Okay, 23 is what I rolled, plus 4.
If that doesn't work...
I just advantage you.
If that doesn't work, I can always launch Franklin into the air.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're forever perceiving all of the things from you.
Yep. Yep.
So you kind of shade your eyes and squint up a little bit, and it seems like it's still pretty high up, but it's growing larger and larger, which means this must be a truly large bird. Seems like it is shaped like some sort of raptor, some bird of prey, with kind of like this white underbelly.
Like, how big is it?
hard to judge
like
from
a person,
here.
Like five people?
Like at least cart size, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe big.
Right.
It's got kind of this like white underbelly with like this bluey kind of purple feathering along its like its upper side and its back as it kind of turns and glides around for another circle with this vibrant red tail. But it does seem to be kind of honing in on
it. Would I know what it is?
Make a nature check or an arcana check.
Is it a dragon? I just want to know if it's a dragon.
It looks like a hawk, and it has a red tail. Could it be the red-tailed hawk?
of myth?
I'm going to make a nature check to see if it's a red-tailed hawk. Well, after seeing that it has a red tail.
In this land of myth and mystery, myth and magic, what's the line?
The fabled red tail.
Well, huh. Myth and magic.
What do you got, Liz?
Oh, a six.
Six? This is a big bird.
It's like a big bird.
Cyrus, if you'd like to also make one, you can. You would probably...
Perception or nature?
Yeah, you'd probably be the only other one to...
I would just like...
Wait, which one am I rolling?
Whichever you feel.
It just looks like a big bird. I'm not sure what it is. It's getting larger, though.
19.
19? You've heard tale of some truly large birds that live in mountains. One of them being the Roc, R-O-C.
Okay.
This is one of those.
I know that from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I do too.
They are truly massive birds, and they eat meat.
Okay.
They're condor.
They're people eaters.
Condor man?
Yeah, so this actually is a Roc, R-O-C, not to be confused with the, you know, the ones you find on the ground. Those are R-O-C-K. I did pay attention during my spelling classes, Alin. And it eats meat. Do we still have... Did Vern take all of the meats from the river, from Old Snaggletooth? Did he take those with him, or...
I think we disposed of those.
No,
we never did.
We disposed of
it. It's in our bag of holding.
It's in our bag of holding.
That's right, because we didn't just hand over the bag of holding.
No, and we didn't want to dispose. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Let's take that. And Vinny begins to go to the bag of holding and just unloading big rotting flesh.
Yeah, you can start to like just pour it out the back, kind of leaving like a little trail almost.
What does this not?
Do you have enlarge?
I do not.
Oh,
I think that only works on humanoid creatures.
Dang
though.
It! Imagine making a pile of meat and casting enlarge on the pile of meat.
Flintstones.
There's no way the Roc will be able to resist.
The Roc, Dwayne. The Roc.
No, Roc? That's spelled R-O-C-K. The bird is R-O-C.
Dang it, now I want to name the bird Dwayne.
You wouldn't be able to resist a big heaping pile of meat. Like, all that protein, more like protein.
I could cook it. I could use burning hands and cook it. And get some nice...
That's a good idea, yeah.
I could grease it up first, and then cook it.
So as you guys are riding in the cart, behind you is a trail of burning meat.
Vinny's dumping it out the back at the same time. He's like
burning it.
Simultaneously being burned and poured. And as you guys travel for another 30 minutes or so, you see the Roc is starting to circle lower and lower. And then you see it in an instant just startlingly dive at like just incredible speed towards the meat. And picks up like a giant chunk of meat in its talons before foom, foom, flapping up again. You get a true scale for this bird too. It is gargantuan. It is bigger than five carts, maybe eight carts combined. Like it's bigger than your pole boat. It is a massive bird.
So we did wow. Modified it, and feeding it was a great idea. Let's go. Yes, perhaps we get away from this bait that we've set out and
keep going.
Leave the rest of it and then perhaps take a different route slightly farther away from the river for the time being.
We don't want to reward it for following us.
Yeah,
or attract others.
But our only other option at this point is going into the haunted forest.
Nope. Check your map.
Okay.
You're very far away from the forest.
Yeah. So that's all right. Let's just let's boogie.
Okay, so kind of a
that's
double
a
speed.
Word I picked up in Drasba.
Yes.
Boogie. After like that. Dumping the last of your rotted half rotted meat, you speed up, Harrison.
Where are we? Just to kind of.
You are in that little bend above Costo Chateau.
Okay, great.
I'm going to make a DM call. The rock needs to take a constitution save for the rotten meat.
Mm.
Ooh.
I think most animals are accustomed to rotted meat.
It's a joke.
Meat.
Oh. It's a really bad joke.
Sorry. I would have honored it if it was,
The rock is still following us, and at blinding speed, you see rock feces.
Just explosive diarrhea. Propelling it forward even faster at us. Roll initiative.
I think I saw this on the Nat Geo doc.
Prestidigitation, but it wasn't fast enough.
But you make your way at increased speed, the rocks swooping down behind you periodically, but it seems like you have distracted it for now.
Sorry, Tyler.
It's okay. Twilight comes.
Wait, is Tyler still talking?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I'm going. Twilight comes. The rock is distracted, but would you like to keep going or would you like to camp down for the night?
Let's get out of range of the rock before we camped.
Yeah, keep going for a little
bit longer.
We start pushing for like... I mean, there's no way we can outrun this thing, right? Obviously, but we can't hide. I would say that it's very difficult to... I think it's been leisurely following us.
Yeah.
I think we need to get out of its eyesight.
Yeah. So the closer we get to any type of forest, the better. We gotta get out of the mountain range, out of its hunting ground.
Is there anything, any vegetation that I can see?
You are kind of in this like scrubby upper hill land. Not really any vegetation besides small like bushes, but it is greener down here than it was like up north where it was kind of the yellows and light greens of the savannah. The grass is a little bit greener where it does grow, but it's more kind of scraggly hillside.
Any, like, foothills that we could kind of nestle into?
Sure, you could try and find, like, a little bit of, like, a crevasse, maybe, if you want to make a survival check.
Absolutely. And who's making that survival check?
I can, yep.
Anything outside I just don't do.
Let's see.
Yeah, we're really more built for, you know, negotiations. And
nice.
Wow.
24.
Amazing.
So even in the half light of the oncoming night, you're able to kind of break away from the river and travel a little bit northeast up further into the hills. And you find a small overhang where a ledge just kind of like juts out from the hillside that you feel like you would be obstructed from view from.
Okay.
The rock.
In order to to help this endeavor, Vinny would cast plant growth.
Oh, that's great.
Vinny.
To kind of around the kind of like a wall.
So yeah, maybe looking like it's growing on the hillside or in the crevasse.
Sure.
But it's actually just homing us.
A hedge of protection.
It is. It's almost
I cast hedge of protection.
A hedge that grows up from like lower down and then like meets the top of the overhanging lip to where you're almost like in this little like rock and leaf house almost. Kind of, you know, slanted, you know. It's still in a hillside, but it's a nice. And the donkeys, they enjoy it. They're kind of eating from the wall.
Get a treat.
Sorry, the mules, not the donkeys.
Yes, the mules, Tyler. Eat too close to them. Let's have them on the edge.
Yeah, gotta protect them and make sure they don't. But anyways, that should do us. Honestly, it should be, if we keep the fire, we don't make a fire, we should be able to hide fairly efficient.
This is outstanding, Vinny. Ellen's patting the greenery. This is perfect.
Shh, shh, shh.
Now fully.
Yeah.
Very fine work. Lovely craftsmanship.
So as you guys get ready to bed down for the evening, have your cold rations, no fire. Can I have two d20 rolls for me? One from each person who wants to do them.
I get one.
I got one.
Can't believe Rachel rolled an 18 last time.
Now I rolled a 2.
Okay.
It all makes sense again.
7.
Okay.
It's not like double doom and gloom, is it?
So, as morning comes, slightly cloudy today. Not overcast, not heavy clouds, but cloudy. Which is a good sign. Maybe it will obscure your path from the bird of prey above. But you were able to set out again. Are you descending back into the river, or are you kind of skirting the mountains and the hills?
We stick close to the river, I would vote. What do you guys think?
Well, especially if this thing lives in the mountains, it makes the sense to get the furthest from them.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Anyone opposed?
I have nothing in my brain that would say one way or the other.
Well, let's try it. Let's follow the river.
Okay. You make your way back down to the riverside. Start to circle around. Now heading almost completely due east. And as you pass by, around halfway through the day, you spot something across the river. Looks to be a manor house, but it's ruined. The roof has fallen in. The stone is dilapidated. The barn is rotted away. And there are the remains of what might have been a stable. It is close to, on your map, what you think Costeau's chateau might have been.
Now, does it look broken down from age or broken down from someone recently burned it down?
From this distance, hard to tell. Make a perception check.
It wouldn't match our perceptions to see this broken down. Like the last that we knew of it, it would still have been whole.
So you were told by Tybalt that Casto Chateau was the place where they lived, but
okay,
he didn't
right.
ever clarify if it was actually still in use.
Yes. But we even like from our backgrounds, I mean,
From your background, you don't know that you don't feel that the Costos have had a manor for quite some time.
Okay. So this isn't like particularly surprising?
No, not in particular. It, you know, you don't really know much about the Costos. Make a history check for me, actually, the both of you.
I got a 19 on the perception.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely dilapidated over time.
Okay.
The first one was a 20, and I have advantage.
Oh!
The next one's a 21.
Do I have advantage?
I don't know why you... Why do you have advantage?
It's because I'm proficient in it?
Oh, no.
Oh.
You just add your proficiency modifier to... So thanks, you're perfect.
Shoot. Okay.
That's okay.
Ooh, well, never mind.
I'll take the 20.
So it's a 20.
Okay.
Seven.
That was never your area of study, Alin. Really, the history of the different families. You're more interested in swordsmanship around that time that you were being tutored. Bells, you do actually know a fair amount about the Costeau family. Yeah, so they, it's funny, while it is dilapidated, there are hints of burn and traces of kind of soot around the manor as you're passing by. And Bells, you connect that with the fact that when a long time ago, when the first Blackthorn was conquering the known continent.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone laid down their swords in this area to join the ascendancy or die, you mm-hmm. know. The Costeau family chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of them were killed. So that's why they don't necessarily have a manor anymore.
Mm-hmm. So they took the side of the apostasy.
No. This is way before that. Yeah. This was before the ascendancy existed. This was when, and you two ascendancy kids would know, the first ruler of the Blackthorn ascendancy was named Martell Blackthorn. He's the one who kind of conquered the continent for the gods of the Tetrad. So when Martell came to the Elanco lowlands, the kingdom of Elanco, the Costos did not lay down their arms, whereas others did.
I wouldn't volunteer any of that information.
That's fine.
I would just pass by and see it.
Unless you guys have anything to say about it.
Yes.
It's just a husk that you guys pass by.
Would this provide any shelter, or?
It is across the river.
Oh.
Yeah, we'd have to swim with the horses and the cart across the river to get to it.
Cyrus is going to recite a poem. I saw the musty shingles of my house, raw wooden fixed once, eroded by the ruin of age, now a wash of moss, turning all fair and green things into waste.
Did you write that?
No, I did have to study some modern poetry.
Fitting. And beautiful.
Well, thank you. It was one of my favorites.
You see Elin looking at you with an expression she's never looked at you with before. You've seen her look with adoration at things before, but never before has she looked at you with anything remotely, like, adoring or positive.
Or positive?
To be very clear.
She's like, I've never had positive thoughts about...
But she's, like, in amazement and admiration.
What? I have layers. I'm deep.
She doesn't say anything. She just rides along.
And with that...
It's ever apparent how little we know of one another.
The ruins of a once proud manor slip by, and the rest of the day passes relatively calmly. No sign of the rock.
Took care of him.
Yeah, we did.
Idea. Knew that meat would come in handy.
It sure did.
I did not expect that. I was very worried for you, and then you did that, and I was like, oh my gosh.
So, let it be known that if you have a bag of holding, and you're near a town in your D&D campaign, purchasing a lot of pounds of old rotting meat can come quite
we
handy.
Highly suggested.
You just have to remember that you have it.
Right.
Yes.
Or, you know, those old rotting body parts of the prey that you...
Just pick them all up after you slaughter them.
That's right.
Inventory management.
Salt. We have lots of salt.
You do.
Anyway.
So, the day comes to an end. You may... Take your rests.
Where about are we now? Just past the...
You're about a little down the way from Costo Chateau.
Okay.
You're about a quarter of the way to Osrin.
Okay.
So as you guys are bedding down, I have the two d20s.
I'll roll one.
Do it. Go for it. Yeah. You got
five.
It.
Five.
Rolled seven again.
Hmm.
Okay.
Seemed like a safe number, though, so I'm kind of happy.
Yep.
As you continue down, the land becomes a bit more flat now. You've kind of walked your way out of the lowlands of this river basin, once called the Elanco Lowlands. Still called the Elanco Lowlands, but also now the Kingdom of Elanco. And the foothills kind of rise... to the mountain range to your north, but you're kind of south of the range now, where it's kind of, you know, becoming more grassland, a little more fertile. And then you come around midday to kind of a little bit of a ledge on your left side and the river below you. What's everyone's passives?
11.
11.
10.
Bells, out of the corner of your eye as you're kind of coming up to this lip hanging over, you spot like a little bit of a foot up on top of the ledge.
Like a foot of a creature?
Like a humanoid foot in a leather boot.
Shoot it!
Shoot him! Shoot him!
Do you all see that? There's someone over there.
Everyone be very quiet.
Yeah,
Should we
Are you proceeding
over?
Forward?
Do I have to make eye contact to cast Compel Duel? Or can I duel a foot?
Can you compel a foot?
let me double check. I'm interested.
paint a picture in my mind's eye. What do we see? So we look up ahead of us, and there's a
lip.
There's
kind of a lip of almost like the overhang you camped under. That kind of hangs over, and then there's a little bit of ground that goes below it alongside the river.
How far away?
Where's the foot? Like, why do we
up
only
on the
see?
Ledge? Well, you kind of see like hiding behind a boulder on top of the ledge, a foot peeking out.
Okay. Got it.
How far away is the foot?
It's memory.
About 20 feet.
Okay. I'm going to say, Bells, catch me. And then I'm going to send Franklin to scurry up.
I'd hold him.
He goes limp. Not, doesn't even need to, but you catch him anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Franklin scurries up the
can
side.
Can I like steady him sort of enough to like get an arrow ready just for?
Kind of push him back
kind
up.
Of like
you lean him up
like
on the ledge.
Just be like, okay, he's good, and then I'd get an arrow ready.
To study sure. Cyrus.
I assume you guys have
eyes
stopped the cart. I assume you've stopped the cart and kind of pulled off to the side and stuff, and you send Franklin up. Franklin kind of climbs up the side of the ledge and peeks around the boulder, and there are three or four rougher looking men in kind of tattered clothing, looks like a little bit of leather armor. Three of them are kind of sitting around a campfire, and one hiding behind a boulder. Looks like he's keeping watch with a bow and arrow.
Does it look like they have... I think what I would look for if I was checking to see, do these look like bandits? Is I would look to see, does it look like they have any possessions around them that rougher looking folks out in the boonies would not ordinarily have?
Sure, make a perception check through Franklin.
17.
So yeah, they have a few coin purses that are in nicer condition than most, you know, rural folks, mountain boonie folks might have. As well as a few, like, kind of necklaces and jewels that they've got around the campfire.
Yep.
It does not seem like they are trying to ambush anyone, more they're just hanging out and someone's keeping watch. So it doesn't seem like they know you're there.
Okay. So Franklin will come back, and Cyrus will whisper, I'm pretty sure they're bandits, and I'm pretty sure they don't know we're here.
How shall we proceed?
If they don't know we're here, then we...
Perhaps just sneak on by.
Could we sneak?
I would. Through.
It's a bunch of gruff, beardy dudes with, like, ladies' necklaces.
Maybe we
probably bandits.
Maybe we could set a trap. Like, I could go and sort of a damsel in distress of sorts. And you could lie in wait.
Wait.
Get the jump on them.
Wait. Vinny, why do we need you to be a damsel in distress when we have actual ladies?
I'm fairly certain I'm the most damsel of this bunch.
I don't look
true.
Very vulnerable, and I tap my armor.
Yes.
Okay, what if... Wait, but Alin, don't you have, like, a really nice... Like, a really posh, fancy dress on you?
Do you want me to change into my... Fancy
evening wear?
My evening wear.
Yes.
Just for this ruse.
Yes. No, you put on your evening wear.
And then you could whip their cacks.
Yes, with their own swords.
Oh, this is so Anne Hathaway. That's not what my character would say. Rachel is saying, this is the most Anne Hathaway moment that could ever happen.
Do it. That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah, the reversal of the damsel in distress. They think she's going to be this defense.
What sort of distress would she even be in out here?
I don't know. She's
lost.
Tripped and broke a nail.
I've actually warmed to this idea because it will give us some indication of their intentions. If I take my swords and I kind of, you know, show them along like the length of my calf, like where I could strap them underneath the dress and like just kind of hide them out of view.
You could walk with very stiff gait.
Yes.
Like, she's injured.
She's injured. Yeah.
Yes, I'll hobble through.
She can drag one leg behind.
In an evening gown in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
She's lost. She was lost. Okay.
She's a damsel in distress.
Let's flesh
this
out.
That's the whole idea.
Let's flesh this out a bit. Perhaps there was a caravan and she lost her way.
Perhaps. This is yes. Only convincing. And then I rip the dress a little to like make it so that I can move a little easier.
She just changes while we're discussing this.
While you guys are talking about this, she loves the idea.
She just look over and
Vinny,
she's
Vinny
done.
Vinny has plant growth and, you know, there's a little hedge of privacy.
It. Sure.
I thought this was like video game rules where you just equip and unequip your armor.
Yeah, right. Fine. Just instantly without us realizing she's in her fancy gown.
Yeah, we need like the robe sound effect.
Oh,
I could,
But then you wear like a charismatic piece of attire, like the striped pajamas, and a video game gives you +2 to charisma.
Oh my gosh.
That's search like Magical Michael in our Discord.
Yes.
Describe your evening gown. I don't think you've actually worn formal attire.
Nope.
Ever.
I'm pretty sure, but you know what? I can't even remember because we took a very long hiatus, so this is our chance to start from scratch. Did you ever watch Swan Princess?
Yes.
Okay, big poofy sleeve.
Yes.
Big poofy sleeve, and it
yes.
is... Yeah. So Odette's dress.
Yes.
Basically. But yes. We're going to say the color would not be white because that's very wedding gown. It would sure. be... I feel like a nice wine-colored dress would be very classic. But definitely the big sleeve thing. So the big... Oh, man.
Jeremy's looking it up.
This would be so great if I could, like, hide the armor underneath those big poofy sleeves.
Yeah!
But just, like, tuck a little armor. Be. I understand why. So we're just going with poofy sleeves. I wish there were more weapons I could stick in these big poofy sleeves, but... We're going with it.
Yeah, you can probably
you
get
only
one,
need, you
one
only
sword.
You only really need one sword.
You can probably get one sword strapped to, like, your leg with the tear in your dress, and you can kind of limp along.
Okay, I've got one sword. All right. If I had to choose between the two, I'll take penitence.
Okay.
And I'll concentrate guidance for her performance check.
Okay. She's gonna limp out into the open.
Wait, do we have, like, a
what are the rest
signal?
Of you guys doing?
What, or, like, what? Like, what?
Okay, so now we actually need a plan. Bells is right.
Wait a second.
Bells is right.
What do we do, actually? You check their intentions, and if you need assistance.
Well, can someone scan the horizon to see if there's any way that we could position ourselves?
Perhaps take Franklin with you.
Oh, yeah. Yes, take Franklin.
Okay. But he will be very strange. Maybe you could change his form so he's not a lizard on my shoulder. I feel like that's very suspect.
I think that would take an hour, right?
Yeah.
Dang it. Okay, well...
Could he just
watch
from...
Yeah. On the ground?
Yeah.
I'm not carrying Frank.
He's not a
that
big.
Is a,
I mean, he's not a big fan of walking on the ground.
Too bad, goodness.
He does prefer to be carried. But
no. Olin shows no sympathy.
He'll do it. He'll do
great.
It, or I can dismiss
okay,
him
problems
and bring in an eye.
Next,
so he'll do it.
So if you need assistance, like how can we position ourselves most favorably?
I don't know, but you know how in movies sometimes when like this stunning woman walks onto the set, and it's just like slow motion, and there's kind of a lens flare, and
a lens flare,
and kind of a blurry vignette.
A vignette.
I don't really follow.
What do you speak of?
Could you make the wind? Sorry, could you cast the wind blow my hair?
Oh yeah, I've got minor illusion ready to just cast all of that.
Great.
All right.
As soon as they make eye contact with her, just that love at first sight sort of
moment. Can we just kind of scan the area to see like how we can position ourselves?
Sure, are you trying to find like a place to like hide and wait?
Ambush them.
Sure. You think maybe if you can kind of go under the ledge maybe, because it does hang over a little bit, you might be out of sight while she's on.
What if we like circle around, right? Like how can we circle around the ledge to get like behind them in case we need to ambush them?
And you can try and go up into the hills and around. You just have to, you know, you'd have to be stealthier.
I have an idea. Because I don't have a lot of confidence in our ability to stealth.
What if you guys just hid under the ledge?
If we hide under the ledge, is it easy for us to like pop out and get up there?
You don't have to get up there at all. Like, Alin doesn't have to go up there. The ledge is like up here, and you could walk past the ledge, like under it, if that makes sense.
So I could also make a couple of you invisible. Would that help with their stealth or the sound part of it?
Yeah, that gives you advantage on all stealth checks, I'm pretty sure.
That could be helpful for me, particularly.
Cyrus has ranged battle, so you wouldn't need to have Cyrus stealth around. Cyrus would just shoot from the ground.
It's true.
Right.
Yes, with all this armor, I'm not particularly stealthy.
Okay, yeah. I'm just gonna like hide maybe down on the riverbank. Yep. Okay.
And then Alin and I, or no, Alin will be the damsel, not.
Yes.
And then we will tail her.
Okay.
Maybe 30 feet behind.
Sure.
Okay.
Just, you know, enough that she could come. We could probably do 60 because she could run back 30.
You're about 20 feet away already.
Okay, great.
Oh.
Perfect.
Yeah. Wow, we're really
pretty close.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
See the foot.
So we'll go invisible. So I'll cast invisibility on me and Bells.
Okay.
I'm just going to hide.
All right. You're kind of hidden down in the reeds a little bit. And Alin, you kind of limp out into the little pathway under the ledge and see a bearded individual in kind of darker green cloak and some faded sun-dried leather armor looking down at you, bow in one hand.
Oh my.
Stop. Hello.
I'm going to go ahead and cast my minor illusion there to gust of wind to just blow her hair back a little bit. The subtle sound of a saxophone on the wind. Just some random sparkles here and there.
You okay?
Oh, I'm fine. The caravan I was traveling with got attacked by bandits. Now I'm all alone.
Well, Well, that's mighty troubling. Do you want to come up? We have some food up here.
Oh, I'm trying to watch my figure. I'm just going to limp along to the next town. My betrothed is waiting for me up the river.
Oh, well, we'll take you to Osrin?
No, down the river.
That is down. Osrin's the closest town.
Well, she's going to insist no.
Okay.
No, I'm just going to follow the river.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll help you.
No, I couldn't trouble you. I just can't trust anyone anymore after that terrible attack.
Well, did they take all your belongings?
Yes, I have nothing left.
Oh, well, if you insist on going.
I must.
All right,
my betrothed out there, and I've never met him before, but I'm sure he's very handsome.
Right. Well, you have a fine evening, ma'am.
You too. She lips.
Continues to limp past.
She didn't get any information.
She just scratches her.
Great, but what about the rest of us?
The rest of you see him kind of scratch his head with one hand and spit onto the ground. And you hear, like, off in the distance, someone yell, "What was that?" He said, "It's nothing. She didn't have anything anyway."
I'm going to cast Minor Illusion again to whisper in his ear, "You'll never need meet another love like that so long as you live."
What the?
He's kind of looking around bewildered now.
"Go after her, you idiot."
"Who are you?"
Now everyone else is. The rest of the bandits are now on full alert as someone is being talked to and... I'm going to need everyone to make stealth checks.
John! John!
As Alin is limping into the sunset.
Oh my gosh! Farewell.
Alin made it.
Yeah!
So
what does your thing do for me?
We're invisible right
so
now.
So advantage on stealth checks.
So I always have disadvantage.
It doesn't say that, but
yeah, so you roll straight now.
Okay. I got a 7.
Okay. What do we got for the rest of you?
Still, hang on, I'm getting
so
over
Vinny
to it.
So Vinny hearing that they were trying to ambush, she didn't have anything anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure.
They're bandits.
They're not
they're, yeah, they're bandits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nat 20 on stealth.
Okay. Cyrus, you become the reeds. You start to sway with them.
Okay. I'm going to cast Minor Illusion again to make it look like Alin is just dropping a trail of golden jewelry behind her.
Okay. They're all like looking around and then one of them stops.
"Hey,
I thought you said she didn't have nothing."
"She don't.
Clee, she's literally dropping golden coins."
She's scutting gold coins after her.
They start to fall. They start to now go in the direction of Alin.
Okay.
They draw some weapons.
At this point, Vinny will Eldritch Blast one of them.
Wait. I thought we were going to wait for Alin to make the first strike.
Was I going
to?
No. Oh.
Never said
I don't know.
Okay,
there was no plan.
Okay.
And so Vinny, Eldritch Blast the guy in the back of the head.
And then I would lose my arrow.
Rolls the initiative.
Do we at least get a surprise round for that?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, you do, for sure. Alin does not.
I rolled a nat 20 on initiative.
Nice. Let me switch over to combat music.
5 on initiative.
All right. Hold your initiatives. I gotta get the battle map.
It's just the weirdest encounter.
Whoops. This is a very strange occurrence.
But we're trying. That's the good part.
I'm proud of you.
You know, I didn't know that I was supposed to get information. I thought that
I
was just
know
supposed
you
to
either.
We
like,
just started.
We
had no plan.
And then like they're not gonna try to kill us.
We had a plan.
Yeah.
But there was no goal. We had a plan with no.
We just left out some important details from the plan.
Yeah.
But we had no objective. That was the issue.
That's it.
Okay, can I get 25 to 20?
22.
Wait, Rachel, what was your initiative?
19.
And I rolled into the builder.
I didn't get it because I didn't have the encounter up at the time.
12.
And Syrie.
4. Or no, 5.
5.
5.
All right. Let's start us some combat. I'm going to put on some combat lights with my fancy light thingy. Vinny, do you want to go ahead and roll your Eldritch Blast on your surprise round? The three of you probably will get a surprise round. Alin, you're too off in the distance, limping, performing.
Gold falling out of your cack.
Giving the performance of your life.
Yeah.
Not of your own.
Okay. What do you got?
You said with advantage?
Yep. No, not with advantage. Just a, it's just a surprise round.
You said with advantage?
So now you know.
You're trying to trick my dumb brain.
Hey, I'll try.
Tyler doesn't know, but the DM does. I rolled a 14.
Okay. And you have two beams with that, right?
Right. So I rolled for both of them?
Yeah.
That's right. That's why I rolled two dice. I was like, I don't know.
You just go aiming for one in like the back?
Yeah. And I'll send one right after the other.
Okay.
And so it'll be, and then the other one will definitely hit. It's like a 25.
Okay. So. Both hit. So roll damage.
Okay. And okay, here comes.
Okay, ready.
9. 9. 10.
10 total?
No, 9 and then 10.
So a total of 19?
Yes!
All right.
And I was going to say, I got agonizing. I think I can push him, but I don't want to push him any closer to him.
So you reach out as they're starting to kind of make their way. These two bolts of eldritch energy, sailing the distance across, hitting simultaneously from either side, one in his like shoulder and one in his hip. The one rockets him to the right, almost off the ledge, and then the other one hits him in the hip and sends him sailing off into the underbrush. And you hear him fall.
Wow.
The other three, the coolest eldritch blast I've ever rolled.
It was cool.
The other three starting to spin as they hear their compatriot fall. Bells and Cyrus, you have surprise rounds as well.
So would I get like two attacks?
Yeah, this is a full round for
okay,
you.
Okay. Just checking.
Of attacks.
Okay, so I rolled a 26 and a 15.
26 hit. And a 15, both hit.
Okay. Who am I shooting at now?
Whichever one you want. The one of them in the back got killed. There's another in the back, and then there are two in the front.
And I can see all of them?
Yeah, they're standing above the ledge now. They were kind of crouched down behind a boulder.
I'd hit the most menacing-looking one.
Okay, try and get, like, maybe the leader.
Yeah.
Make your damage rolls.
All right.
You already rolled the hit, so.
Dang, we all have, like, we all have a ranged way of attacking.
Mm-hmm.
15 total.
15 total?
Mm-hmm.
The lead bandit, he's starting to turn around and you catch him one in the knee with arrow, like ooh, right in the knee, and he just kind of falls down on his knee and you get another one right into his throat. He topples over and falls off the ledge.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're whipping him.
Dead or whipping just him. Falls off?
Very much dead.
I feel okay. Kind of bad about it.
Don't feel bad.
Yes.
That's what we're here for. We're the Guild of Goodwill.
Cyrus?
We are judge and jury.
And executioner.
That's right.
I'm going to cast Grease up there.
Okay. You need to make dex saves?
Dex saves.
What's the range in Grease?
60? Let me look. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Okay. Hiding in the reeds. He's like a little magic sniper. He's like got on his like
60 feet.
On his hands and knees.
Army crawling.
Yeah, exactly. He's like he needs a spotter with a little like teeny tiny telescope.
I wanna say that 60 feet would be like right here. Like, I don't think you can do that.
Be cool, Jeremy.
Oh, maybe not.
That'd be about 45, but with the angle, I'd put it just in range because they're right. Angled up, and okay, I don't want to cool. Have to do Pythagorean theorem. So,
a squared plus b squared equals c squared,
and that's where we'll leave it. We don't want to do any calculations. Dex saves from them.
Yeah, dex saves.
Let's see. I have a 12 and a 16.
I forgot what my DC is.
Shame on you. We haven't played in a long time, but shame on you.
DC's 15.
15? So one falls over. Almost comically, if it weren't for the fact that two of his compatriots are very dead.
Yeah.
That's going to end our surprise round. Top of the round, we got bells.
Okay. So that guy's down.
Yeah.
Just
on the ground.
Right. I would shoot the one standing up.
Okay. Roll to hit. Twice.
17.
That'll hit.
And an 18.
That will also hit.
Dang, bells, come on.
Total damage of 11.
11? You take another two shots, one hitting him kind of in the, like, ribs, and the other in the stomach, and you hear the breath kind of come out of him, just... And he just kind of sits down and then falls over. Dead.
Oh my goodness.
These guys are squishy.
Yeah. They're bandits. Is that going to end your turn, Bells?
We could have just murder hobo.
I think I'll save some for the rest of them.
Alin?
How much can I get up onto where the bandits are at?
You could get right up on the ledge from here if you want. You'd have to climb.
Let's scramble.
Okay. And that will be all of your movement. You can use
the rest of your movement. But she's got her javelins.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's throw a javelin.
Okay. Roll to hit. It's going to be a disadvantage since he is prone and this is a ranged weapon.
Okay. Roll 2d20 on the thing, on the app, and both of those, it's 4 and 5. So, what we tried our very best, and that's all we can do, kids.
You, like, heft the javelin and you throw it too far, thinking that it would be heavier. And then you heft another, you ease up on it, and you throw it too short this time. But...
Wait, did I threw two javelins?
Yeah, I thought you said you threw two.
No, she rolled a 4 and a 5, so...
A disadvantage.
So I rolled a 4.
You have 2 attacks.
Oh, well then let's do another attack. Okay, so let's do the second javelin. Let's see if I can calculate it better this time.
Come on.
I believe in you.
Oh, that... I mean, 11 and 12. But I have to add my athletics to that, right?
Yeah.
So, are you... 16 and 17.
Okay, nice. Roll damage.
Okay. That's a d6, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're true to d6. I do 2 damage.
2 damage.
Wait. 2 whole damage.
What about your modifier? Your strength modifier?
Strength modifier.
Yeah.
So, plus 2?
In D&D Beyond, it should say roll this dice plus this.
That's right, I added it as an action. So, there. I added it wrong, though. I added it the regular way that you add a javelin.
Oh, you just rolled it. Said 10 javelin damage.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. So, you throw one too far, and then you heft this other one. The bandit's starting to, like, try and stand up, and he sees you, and you just throw it, and you see the look of fear in his eyes, and then the javelin sails across, hits him center mass right in the sternum, and just pins him to the ground.
Ooh.
Dead.
Dead?
Dead.
Well, made short work of that.
Oh.
Shall we scout the land to see if there are any others? I think I would still be sort of defensive at this point.
Yeah, I would be on guard.
Okay. So you're trying to look around for signs of others?
Well, I think I would climb back down behind the foliage and change into my armor again.
Okay.
At this point.
While they kind of scout, I would be looking to see what they have.
Yeah, sure. That's what I'd be
looking
doing.
Through the campsite, make investigation checks. Vinny, if you want to make a perception check, you may.
He does a 12. I don't.
17 on investigation.
I rolled a 9.
So, with the 12, Vinny, you kind of look around for tracks. It seems like they had headed out from further east towards the way you're coming, but no signs of more than 4 tracks. And then the investigation, you got a what, Cyrus?
17.
17, and then you got a 9?
Yeah.
Okay. Look through, and they have a few sacks of gold that it looks like they've looted, a few necklaces. You can write down probably like 30 gold pieces and two necklaces, maybe valued at 45 gold pieces as well, sure, each.
No, I got it.
Got it? Okay.
It didn't seem like they had too much luck as bandits, but were kind of just trying to survive out here. But they were bandits for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're just trying to make an honest living.
Any weapons on them?
Yeah, plenty of weapons. They have, they each have a scimitar and a light crossbow.
So four scimitars and light crossbows?
Mm-hmm.
Could I add those all to the efficient quiver?
Yeah, if you want to cram those in there, that's fine.
Yep. For now, why not?
Sure. Who knows, you can just melt them down into slag if you want.
Well, we've got 30 gold, two necklaces worth, I don't know, probably about 45 gold each. Honestly, this would be worth more to whomever they stole these from. Maybe if we run across them.
Well, if we run across them.
Yeah, if we run across someone, we could ask. I don't know. They probably, unfortunately, killed them. Maybe.
Hopefully not.
I don't know. They didn't put up much of a fight for us, but...
But we are the Guild of Goodwill.
Yeah. I did collect these crossbows and scimitars. If anyone at any point would be interested in carrying them, you're welcome to them, of course. I have not much use for them myself, but we could also perhaps sell them at the next town if no one's interested in carrying them personally.
Might not be a bad idea to slim down our belongings at the next town. All right.
So, you can pack up the mules in the cart and continue on your way undisturbed for the rest of the day.
All right.
So you guys get ready to bed down. Looking at your map, it looks like you may be ready to reach Osrin after this next day of travel, maybe by nightfall. But that's where we're going to leave this episode.
Yeah.
Great.
Halfway there.
I know a song about that.
Living on
Earth. Do
you? Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we could have been called the Prayer Warriors.
Oh, no.
We could have been.
I'm stopping there.
All right. Good campaign. I'll see y'all next time.